A Juneau man faces drug charges stemming from an incident in Haines. And at long last, the Haines Assembly confirms new members of the Public Safety Commission. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. A Juneau man is facing felony drug charges for allegedly selling methamphetamine and heroin in Haines. According to court documents, Haines police arrested 20-year-old Fisher Tresham on Saturday, February 24th. In court documents, Officer Chris Brown says he was out patrolling when a vehicle ran through a stop sign in front of his police car. Brown stopped the car and found Tresham in the passenger seat. He connected Tresham to a tip the department had previously received about someone coming to Haines to sell drugs. Brown says he patted down Tresham and found bullets. Two rifles were located in the vehicle. Brown also says he found a knife on a necklace Tresham was wearing. In a search, Brown says he found plastic bags with what he believed to be meth and a small container with what appeared to be heroin. According to Brown, Tresham confirmed the identity of the substances. Court documents say a substance from one of the bags later tested positive for meth. Unused plastic bags were also recovered. Brown arrested Tresham and brought him to the Haines Rural Jail. There, Brown says Tresham told him he'd come to Haines to make some money selling meth and heroin. He said the drugs can be sold at higher prices in Haines. In court documents, Brown says Tresham told him he was selling drugs to help support his mother and daughter. Brown says Tresham said he sold a little less than half of the meth he brought to Haines. Court documents say the drugs weighed approximately 5 grams. He told Brown he'd sold about 0.1 gram of heroin. Tresham faces felony charges of misconduct involving a controlled substance. He was appointed a public defender and a not guilty plea was entered on his behalf. Tresham was released on his own recognizance and allowed to return to Juneau. He is scheduled to appear in court again on March 16th. The driver has not been charged. The Haines Assembly came to a quick decision on appointments to the Public Safety Commission Tuesday, but the unanimous vote was a long time in the making. The Assembly delayed a decision on the appointments at its February 14th meeting. At that point, there were 2 empty seats. The Commission had recommended Chuck Mittman and Pat Heffley to fill the positions. Mittman is a longtime volunteer firefighter and EMT, and Heffley is the administrator for the search clinic in Haines. But some Assembly members wanted to see Paul Rogers on the commission. Rogers is retired from a career in law enforcement. At the February 14th meeting, the Assembly went back and forth, but couldn't come to an agreement, so they postponed it. In the time between that meeting and Tuesday night, a third spot opened up on the commission when Michael Fullerton resigned. In a letter to Mayor Jan Hill, Fullerton says his resignation comes as a new job requires him to take an extended absence from Haines. With 3 open seats.
My recommended motion is to confirm the mayor's appointments to the Public Safety Commission with Chuck Mittman for a term ending November 30th, 2020, Patrick Heffley and Paul Rogers for terms ending November 30th, 2019.
So moved.
Hill asked if anyone wanted to comment on the issue.
Discussion on the motion.
I think it's great. Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Call the question.
And the vote.
Those in favor of the motion to confirm the mayor's appointments to the Public Safety Commission, please signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Those opposed, say no. Motion carried unanimously. Thank you very much.
In addition to those appointed this week, the Public Safety Commission is made up of Judy Erickson and Bill McCord. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins. Eight Southeast Alaska communities will resume scrap metal recycling as early as this April. The Southeast Alaska Regional Solid Waste Authority is working with Waste Management, a large garbage removal and recycling business. The authority includes Petersburg, Wrangell, Craig, Klawock, Thorn Bay, Kassan, Heidelberg, and Kaufman Cove. Petersburg Public Works Director Carl Hagerman says old cars, broken construction equipment, and other scrap metal has been piling up for several years. Hagerman says prices have been low, so it would have cost more to ship scrap metal south than could be recovered by selling it for recycling. He says the price was $175 a ton last summer, but could be up to $230 a ton later this spring.
That's the value in Seattle, not in Petersburg, Alaska. So the trick is, again, transportation and cost to get that metal to market.
The Solid Waste Authority reached a scrap metal recycling agreement with another company about 4 years ago, but it fell through. Wrangell has had a large amount of scrap metal barged off through a separate one-time agreement. Hagerman says the spring collection will be a one-time deal.
The second part of the scrap metal agreement with Waste Management is hopefully to set up a long-term agreement with the company to remove metal from the communities on an ongoing basis.
The authority is also looking at what's needed to continue hazardous waste pickups from Southeast communities. The current contract is running out, and the company doing the work doesn't want to continue. Hagerman says a committee is considering three proposals to keep the pickups going. Several larger Southeast communities have their own contracts for recycling scrap metal and hazardous waste. More than 100 people turned up to Centennial Hall to observe, listen, and speak to state regulators reviewing the acquisition of Juno's electric utility by a Canadian firm. KTOO's Jacob Resnick was there.
It was a community input session and fairly informal. Thane resident Steve Benke was one of about a dozen critics to speak. He asked the Regulatory Commission of Alaska to take testimony under oath because of the high stakes.
My gut tells me it's not a good idea for our local electric utility to be under the control of a big, distant, multinational corporation. I'm not convinced that people have thought through all the implications or the appropriate conditions for this merger.
The RCA can approve or deny the acquisition of Alaska Electric Light and Power's parent company. That parent company is Avista. It operates in five states, including Alaska. So approval is needed by each state for Hydro One of Ontario's expansion into the Pacific Northwest to move forward. In Alaska, the clock is ticking. A decision is due in late May. Staffers at the Public Utility Commission of Oregon recently recommended against approving the takeover of Avista's assets there. In Alaska, there's also been criticism. More than 100 public comments, most of them critical, have been received by the RCA. But there were a few supporters in the crowd. Neil McKinnon served on AEL&P's board of directors for 30 years. He read a letter by the former owner, Bill Corbis, that said the merger would help strengthen the company by adding financial power and technical expertise. McKinnon said the ownership of the utility isn't as important as long as it's managed properly.
You know, who owns it? Who cares? Who knows? As long as two things happen for the Juno people. When you hit the switch, the lights come on. And when you get your bill, you don't panic. That's what's really important.
One of the biggest points of contention is the fate of Snettisham Hydroelectric Project. Built by the federal government and completed in the 1970s, it's owned by the state and leased to AEL&P, and it produces most of Juno's electricity. Under a complex arrangement signed in the 1990s, AEL&P has an option to buy Snettisham at any time. That's led to concern in the community and among elected officials that a critical piece of infrastructure could end up in the hands of private interests. In an interview with KTOO, Hydro One executive Ferio Pouliez said Tuesday his company has no plans to leverage Snettisham for financial gain.
Monetization of an asset like that is not of interest to us. That asset is obviously strategic in nature here. It's strategic to the community, serves a strong purpose. There's no value for us to do that. We have a strong balance sheet already.
Even before the RCA begins deliberations, it still has to set other ground rules. It's already said the Snettisham question is off the table, but what's not decided is whether the city and borough of Juneau will be allowed to intervene as a party to the process. Hydro One has offered some assurances over Snettisham if the city would withdraw its petition and support its buyout. That didn't happen. It's up to the RCA now to decide whether the city will be granted a seat at the table. In the meantime, the Juno Assembly has allocated $75,000 for legal costs to to make its case. In Juneau, I'm Jacob Bresnik.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.